Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Faith in the resurrection. Before we get started, I wanted to encourage you to know that we are blessed to continue to surge forward in the Great Commission of putting the Word of God forth to the people. Now, we can't make anybody believe it, but we can certainly get it to the people, saints, because Jesus told us to conduct His Word forth, to preach it, to teach it, and to teach all men. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. King James Bibles are going
out to the incarcerated.
To prison ministries. I just gave a lady a box recently who works with a prison ministry. We've got two boxes going down to a homeless ministry actually here and to individuals. I met a guy outside the bank the other day and we had a good talk and he took four Bibles to pass out. I believe he's going to keep one of them in his car. So we do appreciate your prayers. So that we work together with God, 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. Isn't that a blessing? Brother Travis, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Absolutely amazing. Your message today is about faith in the resurrection or in resurrection. That should excite every believer. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead also raises us up.
Absolutely, Todd. And when you start going through these cross events, cross seasons, when the cross comes to you, faith is all you have. And that's why faith alone is the gospel, not faith plus anything, but faith alone, because that's where transformation is. That's where the new creation is found. That's where resurrection, life, and power comes in right there.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth, there's the faith, though he were dead. We're going to talk about some death right now. Yet shall he live.
Your book, Raised Up, which I recommend to the listeners, it is a powerful expose on this very subject that you and I are talking about today.
Again, I love your title. I love the raised up, the resurrection. It's ultimately what's going to happen when we're with Christ in glory forever, huh, brother? We're going to be raised up?
No question. There's a paucity of knowledge, as I use that term in the written piece today, is that people don't know that the resurrection life and power is for now, not only in the sweet by and by, but for everyday living.
Absolutely. One of the passages you've brought to the attention of the body of Christ so profoundly is 2 Corinthians 4:10-12, which says, Saints, it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, Brother Travis.
Yes, and Todd, you talk about the life right there. That is the resurrection life. That is the born-again newness of life. I believe Romans 6:5. We cannot live the Christian life, Todd, with natural life as our center, as our power source. We must be switched over, unplugged out of that power source, and plugged into the life of God, which we find through the cross and the resurrection, Todd.
Central to the gospel message. In fact, we don't have the original gospel, saints, unless we have this cross message at the center of it. A lot of us, Brother Travis, trying to overcome sin, which Paul talks about right here in this chapter you just mentioned, Romans 6. Mm-hmm. What a central cross message chapter that is. And he says, we cannot live in sin. God's grace will not abound if we do. But then he tells us how to overcome. And I don't know if I've ever heard this in a local church. I hate to say it. I haven't heard it profoundly. Then he says, he begins with the cross message. Know ye not that so many of us, and this is the solution for overcoming sin. Somebody listening might be just struggling with something, and they probably just need to not try harder, but just dive deeper.
as members of the body of Christ.
We pray together about things that people are struggling with. The Bible does say we striving against sin, there, Hebrews 12:4. It's a reality that we're in a battle, and yet God didn't leave us without the absolute answer.
Yes, Todd, we win the battle over sin by raising the white flag against it and saying, I can't do it. There's the initial step, is to declare that I don't have the power within me. I don't have the life of God. And then you go to the Lord and invite him into your heart. And then there's a death right there, a death to the old you. And then he infuses you with his life and power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from the law of sin and death at that point in time.
Somebody listening might be saying, wait a minute, I'm already saved. Well, but there's always a come to Jesus meeting every day for the true believer. Amen.
Exactly. Every day. We never get away from this battle. We never get away from the cross, and we never get away from the resurrection. It's a daily dying and rising of Christ, and a daily presenting of your body as a living sacrifice and a surrender and a yielding. That word yield is crucial to this whole understanding.
Right in this passage. So he says, and interrupt me anytime along the way. I'll read a few verses here, brother. Romans 6, thanks, beginning in verse 3, after Paul says, the saving grace of God will not abound to us if we live in sin. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Brother Travis?
Yes, Todd, and faith means not taking matters into your own hands as your initial move against whatever it is opposition you're facing. It is a yielding, and it takes faith to yield and say, God, you have this. You can do more about this than I can. I can in my own methodologies and techniques and education and all my own powers. I can't deal with this. Lord, you deal with this. Right there, Todd, is the moment of crucial, this death, resurrection fulcrum in your life. When you let go and God moves in, and that cannot be done except with faith, Todd.
The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Brother Travis, in Hebrews 11, didn't Abraham, we see where he had faith concerning the resurrection of his son? And that would be, what, Hebrews 11? Let's
eight,
read that.
Yes, sir, 8.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, there it is, by faith. So he didn't even know where he was going. He just knew God was leading him. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen.
I like back in Hebrews 11:3 that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, over and over in the Bible, it tells us God makes something out of nothing. Now, there's where our faith is centered right there, that God creates out of nothing. Human beings can't do that. We can assemble and marshal assets and try to solve this problem in our life, whatever it may be. But God doesn't work that way. He makes something out of nothing. He raises the dead. He does not raise the living. He only raises the dead. And there again, you see, he makes something out of nothing. I think there's a really good couple of verses on that in Romans 4:5. I was just looking for it, but couldn't find it.
4:17, I believe.
Okay.
Let's try that right there.
Bring that on.
As it is written, let's start in verse 16. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth or maketh alive the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
The same motivation was in Jesus at Calvary as it should be in us every day, and that is that what sustained him through everything, through the betrayals, the pain, the anguish, the aloneness there, and then the cross itself, was his faith, Todd, and his Father, that his Father would raise the dead. And that's what sustained him through all of that, and it's the only thing that will sustain us through our daily troubles, Todd.
Jesus had a fervent daily prayer life, Mark 1:35. He rose up a great while before day and met with God in a solitary place, again, Mark 1:35. We see his prayer life in no more poignant string of prayer entries than in the book of Luke. And on this verse here, I wanted to point this out, saints. A lot of folks think that it's them that can call those things which be not as though they were, because they've been taught a false doctrine that they're their own little God. Well, then why do you have to have faith in the one true God if you're your own little God? That's a heresy. So be careful, saints. He's not saying that we have the authority to call those things that be not as though they were, especially not in the way that God did. It says that God calleth those things that be not as though they were. I love that. That's really the point you're bringing out, brother, where God is the one who calls those things that be not as though they were. And then what we just read here in verse 3 of Hebrews 11, that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Seems like a connection between those two verses.
Oh, absolutely, Todd, absolutely.
That power, saints, lies in the hands of one, and that's God, not us. So we should consider humbling ourselves and being crucified with Christ, and not act arrogantly like we're going to do our own bidding and go run around like little gods who command things to happen. I understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue, but that's got to be kept in the context of the whole of Holy Scripture.
Absolutely, Todd. And of course, the great theology that militates against the faith of Jesus Christ is the law. And Paul, in the book of Galatians, the whole book of Galatians is devoted to the law verse, that the law is not the way to go, that faith is the way to go. And the crescendo verses there are Galatians 2:18 through 21. He says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, he's not going to rebuild his life based on law and performance-based rule-keeping. He says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live to God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, this is the life of God, Todd, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the law? No, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me, or gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This is the great nemesis to living by faith, is the idea that we can, by our own efforts and rule-keeping and performance-based type living, please God through our own machinations, Todd.
Absolutely. In fact, I think that the greatest manifestation, or one of the greatest, of the spirit of Antichrist that John is talking about in 1 John 4:1 is seen here also. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, if we frustrate the grace of God, we're not saved by the grace of God, because now we've changed over to law instead of faith in the finished work of Christ.
Exactly.
So I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, brother, let me ask you a question. Is there a greater spitting in the face of the Almighty than to deny the full sufficiency of Christ himself to save us?
I don't think so, Todd. I think that is the worst case of spitting or mocking God that you could ever perform.
Absolutely. So anti-saints means in place of, not only against, but more insidiously. Remember that definition, in place of, like the Catholic Church has innumerable idols. Everything in the world they put before Christ, that's visible to all of us. But anything we put before God and the sufficiency of Christ, without which God cannot be accessed, is an antichrist spirit that is motivating us. And right after that, Brother Travis, on your point, are you so foolish, he says to the Galatians, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? In chapter 3, verse 3. Now, in your message, Brother Travis, that you put together for today, you also mentioned Philippians 3:10, about where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He had just talked about not being found in his own righteousness. Says that I may know him. So this is all about relationship, isn't it, brother?
Oh, absolutely. The knowing the power of his resurrection is something that we should know every day. As
yes.
we consent to these deaths, these many deaths, we experience the many resurrection, the little resurrection before our physical resurrection, a resurrection of soul, of mind, a renewal, a transformation comes from the power of resurrection.
Through relationship. And notice Galatians 3:3, we just read it, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And maybe somebody out there, and I've been there myself for sure, the Lord saved you. And so he did that as you surrendered to him, if you recall, and you put your faith in Christ. I wonder if you need to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be encouraged today to lay down your life afresh, to come before the Lord afresh in relationship and faith and draw nigh to him. Maybe you're trying to struggle through something or live the Christian life. That's impossible.
It is impossible to live the Christian life. There's only one that did it perfectly, and the only one that can do it today is Christ, who is our life, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4.
Let me read that right there, because that fits perfectly. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a beautiful thing.
And where do we find this resurrection? We find it in the dark moments. We find it in the failures. We find it in things that bring us to the end of ourselves. And we find it on the Saturday between Friday and Sunday, where he died on Friday. That's legend has it on Friday. He was raised on Sunday, but what do we do on Saturday, Todd? That's the day that we must faith in the resurrection, right there when all seems lost. That's where God comes in and starts to work his work.
Beautiful. And then Philippians 3:10, again, this is so rich, that I may know him. That was Paul's whole goal, was to know him as he followed Christ, who served and sought and trusted his Father all the way through his earthly life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And how does that come? Well, we have to experience what? Here it is. The fellowship and the fellowship of his sufferings. And here comes the death, being made conformable unto his death. So, Brother Travis, really knowing God, especially in a progressive intimacy, requires that we suffer the death of self, being made conformable to the death of Christ, then being raised up. Philippians 3:10.
We cannot produce this selfless life on our own. we must die and rise with Christ. And the way we die is to fellowship with him in his suffering. That's what I say. We meet him in the dark. That's in our sufferings that he participates in his sufferings and others' sufferings that we participate in. There's a fellowship, a relationship in those things that out of which flows resurrection, life, and power.
In fact, saints, there's a house of mourning with a U, mourning, post on the website safeguardyoursoul.com. Also, joy comes in the mourning, and that's mourning with a U. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and that joy comes after the mourning. That joy is the resurrection life of Christ, which we're talking about today. You talked about this resurrection life and power is for now, not just the resurrection from physical death, but a daily resurrection, which is sourced in a daily death. We die and rise with Christ daily. Profound.
Yes, Todd, and most of Christianity is unaware of this daily experience of resurrection life and power because they're unaware of the cross and the deep workings of the cross. So we're bringing something here that's paramount in Scripture, that huge chunks of Scripture are devoted to. The veil must come off the eyes of the church today to see where their power comes from, not from self.
From the Savior. And that happens when we choose to go down low. When you go down low, the devil's got to go. That is exactly how we overcome sin and Satan. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because he has to. And submitting ourselves to the Lord today afresh means that we surrender afresh. We let go and let God. We say, Lord, with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now today live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am dead, Lord, you said, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Let me be conformed to your holy image. Now, you're talking about the paradigm or the original cross message. How does that change the way we approach life in these last moments here, brother?
Well, we had a lesson on God co-opts what the devil does, and this is where he does it, is he allows the devil to bring you into a death situation. And we faith through that, and God brings the resurrection. And so Satan is the source of our troubles. But as we faith through those, God turns them into good.
What a blessing, brother. You went on to write about our new center. It's no longer I, the narcissist, but the selfless Christ and the selflessness of Christ. All the adversaries that usher in the transition are sourced in Satan. Satan causes the circumstances that bring about death to self, the cross, to us. And then you talked about resurrection. It's your resurrection infuses our souls with love, joy, power, peace, rest, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have no part in resurrecting ourselves. That's why we have to have faith in the resurrection of Christ and in God raising us up as we choose to bow down, saints. Brother Travis, real quick, as we close, how should we be confident that if we lay down our lives in Christ, that he's going to raise them up?
Because that's what the Bible says, Todd, and that's the whole paradigm of Christian living right there.
Amen. I love it. Couldn't be a better answer. That's what the Bible says, and it's always truth. And not one of these promises will fail. I believe that's Isaiah 34:16. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening, and thank you very much, Brother Travis. God bless you, dear brother.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.